You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, hey there. Welcome back to season 7 of E-Commerce Fastlane. Really, this is your go-to podcast for building and growing your Shopify brand. I'm your host, Steve Hutt, kind of former Shopify Plus merchant success manager. I'm absolutely thrilled you've joined us today. I have an exciting CEO and co-founder today. Read his book. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But today, my guest is Raj Dadada, and he's the CEO and co-founder of a company called Bloomreach. They have a Shopify app. They connect to Shopify. There are a lot of things AI. There are a lot of things CDP. There are a lot of things personalization. There's some really interesting conversations and topics that I believe are going to come out today. A lot of brands are interested in AI. They're trying to figure out how they can leverage it. I'm worried a little bit, based on the book of merchants that I used to manage, was the fact that there was a little too much duct tape going on with adding a lot of different apps and shiny objects and getting things involved. And I think the problem is that the intent is right for a lot of brands, but in the end, maybe the execution is not right. And I think that's where Bloomreach kind of fits into the equation, where they really are a platform to help brands to grow and scale, personalized through AI and understanding the customer record and their full journey, multi-channel. We're going to get into it today. So hi, Raj. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
It's great to be with you, Steve.
Oh, lovely. So let's start off first. It's never good to put the words in a founder. I'm not a founder of your company, so I can't really speak specifically. I know your platform. I've done a lot of research leading up to today's recording, but I'd love to hear in your own words first, high-level problems you're solving for brands and for marketers.
Yeah, in a nutshell, Steve, Bloomreach was founded, you know, with the principle that all of shopping should be personalized, that we should have the kind of experience that is akin to the kind of experience we might have with our most intimate shopkeeper that we walk into a store with. And so, you know, it was born out of this vision that shopping still 20 plus years into e-commerce is still mostly not personalized. And that's because it's incredibly hard to create a stitched together personalized experience for consumers. And so we set out to build a platform that could do exactly that. And it sort of mirrors the way human beings shop. So it powers marketing, powers email, powers SMS, powers ads, powers websites to personalize all of those interactions. Once a consumer has said, hey, I've now been marketed to, I now am interested in buying a pair of shoes or a dress or a wallet or a vacuum cleaner, then they might come to that Shopify website. They might be browsing around, and Bloomreach will personalize that part of the journey and ultimately guide somebody to exactly the product they're looking for. And that's what it does. And in doing that, it drives tremendous revenue lift for the brands that we power.
You know, I had a brand, just funny you mentioned that, a brand in the pet market. And one of their biggest challenges was understanding the zero party data, like asking the right questions, maybe through a quiz or some kind of a post to kind of exit survey, these sort of things, and enriching that customer data and then being able to personalize and market to that. Because there's nothing worse. They always got complaints about the fact that these people, let's say a person continued to buy dog products, and then all of a sudden you're showing cat products. And it's a horrible customer experience. No wonder that the conversion rate goes down. So, and I think that's what your platform can kind of resolve that partly.
That's right. I mean, you know, we should absolutely not be showing cat products to dog owners. And it turns out while we might laugh about that, it's actually harder to do as a practitioner than one might expect.
No.
That pulling off personalization when you've got an email tool, an SMS tool, a web tool, Shopify, the platform itself, your customer data in multiple places, it's just a lot more challenging than one might expect.
No, I know it is. Trust me, I have enough conversations over the 6 years with brands. Like I said, that's why I said in my intro about the duct tape, because I think that's the challenge. It's just saying, we got to solve this problem. Okay, let's add this. Okay, does it talk to everything else? So we'll get into that a little bit later. So I want to talk about the roots and the founding story, because it really fascinates me, like why people kind of build what they build. So you're able to talk about, you were a co-founder, but I'd just like to hear kind of like your past, kind of leading up to this and finding the founding team and then launching Bloomreach.
Absolutely. So You know, I'm a multi-time entrepreneur, so this is the third business that I've started. It's a chronic affliction at this point, where once you become unemployable and have and really can't be employed by anyone else, you have no choice but to keep starting businesses. Yep. And so, you know, I started this one really by going around and talking to CMOs and feeling like exactly what we were just talking about. You shouldn't be showing cat products to dog right. owners. A good shopping experience would permit that. And I found that there just weren't great solutions that made that possible. And I think the insight that I brought to the table, even in the days when we started Bloomreach, which is almost 14, 15 years ago at this point, was that you couldn't possibly do this manually. That, you know, even if you have 1,000 customers, and many of our brands have millions of customers, and if you have tens or hundreds of SKUs, just to manually figure out exactly what to show to each person, just not possible. You couldn't possibly hire enough human beings in the universe to go do that. And then so hence the role of AI, of data science, of algorithms, to ultimately figure out exactly what to put in front of you at a given moment. So I went and recruited a team of people that had built the search engine at Google or had been part of that early team. A group of us, five of us, four engineers and myself, got together and said, let's envision a platform that you could plug into that would understand who you are as a consumer and also understand products and just algorithmically figure out what to present. And out of that came the Bloomreach idea.
Wow. Okay. That's lovely. I had no idea there was some Google brain power and some former startup experience being I didn't realize this was your third kick at the can, but it kind of makes complete sense that you're proudly unemployable and like to make product. I think that's fantastic.
Exactly.
So I want to talk a little bit about your book. I got a copy actually sent originally by a PR firm. So kudos to your team kind of growing the Bloomreach product. They sent me The Digital Seeker, a guide for digital teams to build winning experiences. I read most of it and it's quite an interesting book. One thing I found, I'm just going to be frank about it, was the fact that it really wasn't a pitch fest for Bloomreach. Yes, it could potentially be a lead magnet for the problems you're solving, fair enough. But you actually go into a lot of different verticals and a lot of different concepts and things like that. And one of the concepts that you talk about is this thing called, hence the name of the book, but The Digital Seeker. And there's been a lot of interest, I know, in the digital marketing communities. This came out, I believe, sometime in 21, I think. So middle of pandemic-ish, this came out. But can you explain to our listeners a little bit about, I'm going to put this link in the show notes so people have not read it, I highly recommend it. But can you explain the whole concept of The Digital Seeker? And I'm just specifically curious about the idea of like how it might transform Shopify powered brands. How do you approach customer experience or engagement as it relates to this digital speaker or this digital seeker person?
You know, it's a great question, Steve. And I really enjoyed writing the book. And the book was really written because I would go around and we had accumulated, you know, tons of brands that were using Bloomreach. And I would often be asked by our customers, by chief digital officers, by CMOs, by CEOs and founders, hey, what would you do if you were me? How would you win digitally? It feels like this incredible potential, but at the same time, the competitive environment is fierce, really hard to win in my category. And so I actually went and interviewed about 100 leaders at winning brands to try to distill what I thought were the common elements. And out of that came this core insight that is the digital seeker. And so to describe what that is, it is that if you build the best website in the world that sells your products, that by itself isn't enough to be successful in a world that is awash with tons of brands and easy access one click away. Instead, what you do is you build the experience, not just for the shopper who's ready to buy the products that you're selling, but rather for the problems that they're seeking to solve. And so let's talk about what that really means. You know, in the book, we talk about, imagine that you're building a deck. You could go out and create a website that sold plywood and that sold furniture and that sold, I don't know, trees or fertilizer for the backyard, you know, a whole range of individual components and put them on a website. Or you could build a website that said, here's how you build a deck. And out of that, it would include, you know, exactly what the steps were, exactly what the materials were, exactly what the cost points of those materials were, exactly the sequence and where you might buy them. And then along the way, you'd sell a lot of plywood.
Right.
And if you do the latter, which is instead of just selling plywood and having a website of plywood, but rather build the experience to facilitate building a deck, you're much more likely to get the person engaged with you in the problem they are actually trying to solve, the consumer's trying to solve. And when they do that, then they become much more intimate with your brand, and outgrowth of that ends up buying a lot of products.
Right. So you really are building. So in a sense, it's truly brand centric. So you're solving problems for people, but not necessarily what the problem is that they think they have today, but there's lots of ancillary things that crop up in the overall experience of the brand.
That's exactly right. And often when somebody's buying something, if I'm buying a pair of tennis shoes, am I buying the tennis shoes? Or really am I buying the tennis shoes because I want to get better at playing tennis?
Right. That's a good point.
And usually it's, I want to get better at playing tennis. So how about give me an experience for a beginner? Give me an experience for an advanced player. Give me an experience for somebody that might have knee problems. And if you construct your experience around the way the consumer thinks and the problems they're trying to solve, you will end up standing out and driving much more loyalty to your shop than if you just put up a web page with a lot of shoes.
Absolutely. All right. Once again, I'll have a copy of the Digital Seeker, a link to it in the show notes, go on Amazon or wherever. I totally highly recommend it. Well-received book when I read some of the reviews online too. So kudos to you. It's always been a passion of mine to at some point want to write a book too. And I see some other notable peers in my space in podcasting and commerce that have done the same thing and distilled down after 350 some episodes of podcast. I think there's enough information probably I could distill it down into a book and this probably could be one of the episodes too. So that's great. I want to pivot over a little bit about, I know AI is definitely a pivotal role in your business. It's very clear. I'm just intrigued to learn a lot more about that and more directly related to Shopify and to e-commerce brands. And like, I think people listening today, there's going to be a lot of different maturities and complexities as far as, you know, no matter where they are in their entrepreneurial journey or for marketers listening today, just like, what would you recommend for direct-to-consumer brands that are listening today? They want to integrate AI into their business strategy. They really want this kind of competitive edge. We're in Q1 right now of 2024. And, you know, most brands had a banker BFCM and they're very, very, very satisfied with their holiday numbers. But they also know that, you know, growth has to continue or you're declining. And so knowing that people want to get more involved in AI, what do you say to them? Obviously, you take some early stage phone calls of brands and saying, hey, yeah, we want to get involved. What do you say to them and how do you motivate them?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think AI is, as with all new technologies, you know, you get a lot of noise, you get a lot of hype in the short term. And so it might be overhyped in the short term, but it's probably actually underhyped in the long term and the impact that it can have. So, you know, my best advice to e-commerce leaders is first, you know, try to understand it, which is itself hard because there's so much noise out there. I think what we can tell from the tools that we all play with, like ChatGPT and DALL-E and all the newer versions of those things, is that its power is immense, right? We can build images, we can write copy, we can compute on large data sets. The potential is vast. But then the question becomes, you know, where do I get started? And I would say that, you know, the most logical place to get started is in a way that most significantly impacts your customer experience. Because if you can move the needle on your customer experience in some material way, you're going to drive conversion rates up, lifetime value up, revenue up, and your business is going to grow. And so it's pretty hard if you're a small brand to just say, hey, I'm going to build a bunch of AI. But fortunately, there are great capabilities out in the market from companies like Google and OpenAI and others that make this AI much more democratized, you know, for everybody. And I would go to the key technology partners that you might have, which could be Shopify, which may be Bloomreach, which may be others, and ask them, how are you natively using AI to move the needle on my customer experience? Mm. Because they should have an answer. And if they don't have an answer, you're probably working with somebody that isn't going to be around a whole lot longer. I would go to my agencies and I'd ask them the same question. How are you using AI to help with my marketing, with my copy generation, with my creative? Because there are solutions for all those problems. And so at Bloomreach, we have really taken this to heart. Fortunately, it's been a native part of our birth.
Right.
You know, we have 30 patents in the area of AI. And so we've been using it now for many years and kept up with it. But even recently, we've asked ourselves the question, AI has taken such a significant step forward. are we doing enough? And out of that, we came to announce back in August a completely new conversational shopping experience built on AI called Clarity. And so even we who are AI natives have had to raise the bar.
I noticed that. That was a topic I was going to bring up, but I know that it's on kind of an early kind of, I don't know, maybe an alpha or a beta wait list. But I think conversational shopping is on a lot of people's radar also. Some brands that I've spoken to in the past just don't even have live chat on because they're worried about the human capital of having to man it as they scale up. That's the big challenge, number one. But then they've also worried about, and then you're obviously looking at this and solving this, is that having an AI be incorrectly trained and actually giving the wrong information. You'd rather not have a chat widget running and have them email you or call us instead of having the incorrect answers or recommendations going in certain places. And I think that's a huge challenge. There's a few kind of peers out there attempting to solve this a little bit. I'm glad to see that you're kind of making, because you really are, you do the marketing automation side of it and you connect to some partners we'll talk about in a minute. I just love the fact that you've got search and merchandising kind of dialed in completely. And then there's some content management thing that we'll talk. I want to dig into that too after about some A/B testing, things like that. But then now this conversational shopping, it's pretty exciting kind of where you're not a Swiss Army knife, but you really are being very strategic in kind of like where you're fitting in, but it all comes back down to your CDP, I guess.
That's right. The root of the Bloomreach platform is to say, if we're going to help drive personalization, it's got to start by understanding the customer, which is where the customer data engine comes in. And it's got to also involve understanding the products, because at the end of the day in commerce, we're in the business of selling products. The core of the Bloomreach AI engine is a deep data set around customers and products. And then the job in a nutshell is to put the right product in front of you at the right time in a way that is most likely to get you to buy. And we do that across email and SMS and websites and apps, in search engines, in conversational interactions now, in content elements. But the root of it all is, let's really understand who you are and what you're interested in and what products might be on offer. That's really the demand supply of commerce.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know I've had some chats with brands too, and they're just like, how do we find our high value customers? And how do we know when they make their first purchase? How do we statistically know what their next purchase is going to be? And it goes down a rabbit hole of like unfortunate spreadsheets and exporting and doing some really tricky things in Excel. And now it seems that Bloomreach has kind of like resolved that, because I think you truly understand the customer journey across channel. Customer journey.
That's right.
And you understand that if you bought this particular cat bowl, that you have a good propensity that people that bought this cat bowl, statistically, they bought this as their second and third and fourth purchase. And you know how to market to them, and you know the cadence, and you know the channel. So can we talk about that a bit?
Well, you describe it perfectly. I mean, you actually start by loading your customers from Shopify into a data set. It will show everything there is to know about that customer, what they bought, what they clicked on, what they purchased, every interaction they may have had with your website or outside of your website in a mobile app. And you start there, and then you can slice and dice it. You can look at your most recent customers. You can look at first-time visitors. You can ask the question, what is it that first-time visitors buy second? What is it that the cat lovers love? What is it that the dog lovers love? You can ask all those questions, and you can slice and dice your customer data in real time. And then you can build effectively personalized campaigns across 13 different channels. Ah. So you can do that across all the marketing channels, but you can also then power the website. So you can power the search box, you can power the navigation menus, you can power the content elements of your site. And so now all of a sudden, off of this core customer data, you can power the full customer journey off of a couple of clicks, and you can do all of that without any IT resources. Mm. You can basically do that as a marketer. And now all of a sudden, I get an email. It knows that I'm a dog lover. It shows me products relevant to that. I click through. A couple of days later, I get an SMS message that's an automated follow-up. I go to the website. It shows me pictures of dogs. I start searching for food. Yeah. It knows that I'm a dog lover and highlight dog-related products. The whole experience becomes very, very personal to you. And that then means you spend more money at that brand. You earn higher. Your click-through, your marketing efficiency metrics go up. All the core metrics in your business start.
Yeah, and I could see, site visitors going, hey, these people know me. Like they get me. They know what I want. Like they feel like, you know, even though it is transactional in nature, like, you know, they're looking to buy, it's solving a problem, and, you know, and a brand is looking to sell. And there is a monetary factor here, but we're trying to build a relationship. And this is actually one way of like, it actually digitally proves that you actually know who I am, even without my purchase, which I want to talk about that too, because that's another interesting concept that came up recently was the, you know, with the amount of traffic that's coming to websites, like how does Bloomreach deal with the unknown site visitor who has not made a purchase yet? Because I think, you know, with a, let's call it a high 5% conversion rate, 95% of the customers, and let's say a 10% opt-in rate, there's still like 80, 90% of customers are unknown site visitors. There's digital footprint on them. Like, how do you deal with that? And then how do we market to them other than just like Meta and Google and remarketing through special like retargeting campaigns? How does Bloomreach understand the unknown site visitor?
Yeah. So with the unknown site visitor, we still think we can do a lot with the in-session behavior. So you come to a website, you might look at a product, you might browse around, you might read an article, and all of those interactions tell us something. So as you are interacting, even if we don't know who you are, we're going to use that data to continually and progressively personalize the experience that you have. And then certainly there's the opportunity to say, hey, 10% discount if you opt into our list. And now all of a sudden you start to build a profile and you can do deeper things, you know, once they leave. But yeah, I think even with unknown visitors, we found that we can drive tremendous lift on the Shopify website.
Certainly. I want to pivot to a story because I think I get really excited when I hear case studies and stories about people. Hey, I used to be here. I implemented X. Like now I'm at Y now. And I owe that to making a decision of a tool or a platform. And I read a bunch of your case studies kind of before recording. There's got to be 80 or 90 of them. Some really interesting Shopify brands. I mean, you have like close to 1,000 customers, but there's like 80 or 90 really good case studies. Is there anyone that's notable for you or that you'd like to maybe share who they are and kind of like maybe their journey of, we used to do things manually or not at all, and then, or duct tape, the bunch of different solutions, and then they move to Bloomreach, and then kind of what that looks like on the other side.
Yeah, you know, happy to talk about a couple of Shopify brands. You know, a good couple are, you know, there's a brand called Benson for Beds that sells mattresses and bedding. And that's based in the UK. We've got a brand here in the US, Olokai, that you may know, that sells sandals and footwear. Yeah. And all of these have seen, you know, the kind of metrics that they've tended to see is, you know, 15, 20, 30% improvements in marketing efficiency and revenue per visit, in lift that comes through conversion rate improvements. So there's a wide range of sort of top line metrics, but it's ultimately all in service of more revenue, you know, that comes out of it. Now, in terms of how they might use our platform, really because we have so many different applications, and we allow people to start anywhere on the platform. So you don't have to go throw out everything to use Bloomreach. You can just use it for your email program. You could add email and SMS. You could say, I want to do email, SMS, and website. You could say, I want to do email, SMS, website, and WhatsApp. I want to add the search capability, or I want to add the navigation capability. So typically, you know, these brands of this type will start with one or two apps and say, hey, I'm just going to launch it on my email program. You know, I think Olokai launched a campaign called Anywhere Aloha, where it was sort of like a personalized email campaign. And they were able to do it by understanding their customers and really driving much greater loyalty among their customer base, which then drove lift. But then they, you know, you start adding from there. You start saying, well, don't I want to do email and SMS? Don't I want that in the same tool? You know, why do I want to get Klaviyo for email and then Attentive for SMS? Why don't I put it all together? Then they say, well, isn't it silly that I should go have to have something else for the website? Because now the website's completely independent of the marketing and people are just clicking through from the email into the website. Right. So then they turn on our web personalization capabilities. Then they say, well, I've got an app. I have a loyalty program. We have brands that have their own loyalty programs where people mostly shop on the app. And there you can use Bloomreach to personalize the app. So people sort of grow into the experience, but they know that as they're turning on more and more channels, that it all hangs together and that they can use the same engine to power.
I see. Okay. That makes complete sense then, because that was the thing, that was one of the questions I was having, was that, you know, you very clearly play nicely with a lot of other partners. I mean, you have a whole separate dedicated section of technology partners. And I think that's one of the pushback that I've gotten in the past from brands, was saying, hey, great podcast episode, Steve, you're recommending X, great, but we have like these tools that, you know, and sometimes marketers are a little bit stubborn sometimes, not wanting to pivot. And so what do you say to them if they are, you know, and I think there's some great tools that are solving some great problems that they're not, maybe not necessarily peers, but they're marketing peers doing their thing. And so I want to understand the mindset around existing tech stack and then playing nicely with these pieces of tech instantly, thanks to your Shopify connector. But then when do people decide, hey, you know, maybe I don't need to have SMS done from a third-party solution. Maybe it needs to be native from within the Bloomreach platform. Yeah. So I just want to hear your mindset around that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think firstly, you know, everything runs on top of a commerce platform like Shopify. So it plugs in natively into a Shopify storefront, you know, whether it's headless or whether it's not headless, it just runs on top of it. But second, often people will start with what their most pressing problem is. So they might say, I'm unsatisfied with my email solution. I've outgrown Klaviyo, for example. And that would be a logical starting point. Or they might say, you know, I'm pretty happy with the marketing solutions, but I really want to improve my search and my merchandising on the website itself so people can find my products. So usually people will start someplace and we'll play nice with everything else in the tech stack. You don't have to throw out what you've got to eat. There's lots of ways of getting started. Then we'll usually ask people, what is your most pressing problem you're trying to solve? Are you trying to solve a new customer acquisition problem? Are you trying to solve a retention problem? Are you trying to solve a conversion on the website problem? Let's start with your most important problem. Let's solve that. Let's play nice with everything else that you got. And then over the course of time, people do say, hey, if I could do something in one tool that's natively integrated that I don't need five, and I don't have to go get a dynamic yield for recommendations.
Yeah.
Algolia for search and Nentiv for SMS and Klaviyo for email and put it all together and have a large IT staff that makes it all work. If I can just have a native platform that I can work with for all of my customer touch points, A, I'd save a lot of money, and B, you know, I might have a much more coherent customer experience, you know, on the other side of it. So gradually they will start to say, it may make sense to turn on other capabilities.
Right. I just love that. So you can kind of grow into the tool, solve an existing problem, maybe with a current piece of technology or something that you're missing, adding that on, kind of going down that journey of using Bloomreach. And all of a sudden it just becomes a necessary part of your day-to-day kind of marketing workflow. And then I guess over time, I'm sure your internal team can start reaching out to these brands and saying, hey, we see you've been quite successful with X, Y, and Z. We're having this webinar to learn more about this. I know we have some in-person events too, but you learn a lot about what the tool can do. And then I'll say, oh, have you thought about this? And it's great for everybody. It's more revenue for Bloomreach, but at the end of the day, it's better customer experience. It's better for the brand, more revenue. All the metrics that you're talking about, the LTV and the AOV and average order, like it's all of it goes up, all because you're offering a personalized one-on-one experience. And as you said, it's hard, but you guys are able to do that.
And we're only able to do it because we started by building a customer data engine and built all these channels on top. Most of the companies in our market started as an email tool or started as a search engine or started as an SMS provider and are now thinking about how do they add others. And that's tricky to go about doing. With Bloomreach, because we started with the data and the AI around customers and around products, we natively built all these customer-facing channels on top. They all kind of hang together. You can create one scenario that says, first, I want to send Steve an email. 3 days later, follow up with an SMS. When he goes to the website, show him this. When he's on Google, you know, he should be part of this audience on Meta or Google. Well, it's all stitched together so that you as a brand don't have to go hire a lot of staff and invest a lot of money to put it all together.
Before we end today's show, I want another topic that to chat with you about a topic that's interesting, that's coming up quite a bit, is ROAS from paid social. And I just want to know how Bloomreach kind of is and maybe an integral part in that and being able to market to people, because CAC is increasing, competition's increasing. And so knowing that, how is Bloomreach making intelligent decisions about who to market to and what to market to them? Because I think it's a challenge for a lot of brands.
It's for sure a challenge. And with the, you know, with the emergence of sort of like a cookie-less future,
Apocalypse,
you know, it's ever more important to start with first-party data and third-party data, right? Which is sort of you know, how can you do that if you don't have a clear access to your customers for your marketers, which surprisingly many marketers don't have easy access to a customer database that has all the attributes associated with their interactions. And so we say, first, start by understanding your customers. Second, find more of your better ones.
Right.
So instead of just going out into the sea and looking for fish, figure out, you know, the kind of fish that you're able to catch most effectively and go out and seek those. And so, you know, a lot of what we will do is first understand the customer and then create the kind of custom audiences that can then be found in the paid social, you know, various paid social.
So it sounds like these high value loyal customers are the ones that we want to find more of. And then you're able to market one-to-one to those, or at least share that data over saying, well, this is the attributes of what we're looking for our next customer, next net new, based on the attributes of a high value loyal.
Exactly.
Got it. We're speaking the right language. So thank you so much for coming on today's show. I think this has been like very eye-opening for me. Like I always joke on the show whenever there's like, you know, a lot of notes being scrambled by me and I'm on page two now. Life of learning is one of my mantras and you have shared a lot. I love the Bloomreach platform. I think it's a lovely kind of mid-market piece of technology and for enterprise brands. If you're in your early stage, this is not for you. I think there's some other kind of business acumen and kind of, you know, just getting product market fit and growing your business. But then once you hit a certain kind of level of getting to Shopify Plus, that's kind of where you're headed, then Bloomreach is a great starting point to kind of get in and use a couple of the tools to start and then kind of work your way through and grow your marketing skills with the platform. So thank you for coming on the show today. Any parting notes and kind of maybe next steps for people listening today?
You know, next steps is to go to the website, which is bloomreach.com. Okay. And, you know, certainly there's plenty of contact us forms if you're looking to learn more. There's also lots of collateral and videos on the website itself, but reach out through the contact us and we'll be back to you. Excited to meet many of you.
Well, thanks, Raj, for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. I wish you tremendous success in the Shopify ecosystem and getting in. I'm sure there's going to be some warm intros from the brands that I know that are unfortunately duct taping their AI. And I think you're a necessary piece of technology that people can definitely leverage and can be, you know, based on these case studies, I think this is fabulous. So once again, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.